Howdy, crew, and welcome to the Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Opel, a human who says words 9 times out of 10. Apologies for the audio quality. I do not seem to have the cable that is required to connect my microphonic device to its place where it's supposed to go, namely the computer. So instead, I'm recording onto my phone on a different microphone, and we'll see how it turns out. It probably won't be as great, but whatever. For the first time, audio quality will match content quality. Also, this is going to be a short episode, both because I'm super not feeling it, and also because I just spent 10 minutes trying to record for this, and it was a disaster, so I'm having less time to actually do the recording-y bits. So, we are going to get right on down to it. Last week, I was going to talk about musical theater bootlegging, because I thought it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting example of a moral quandary, admittedly a very small-stakes moral quandary, but an interesting example of a moral quandary that seems kind of unsolvable, if that makes sense, but I got derailed by talking about Carly Rae Jepsen and creator fan dynamics, because is it any surprise that Carly Rae Jepsen is able to derail any of my pre-planned trains of thought to instead focus on her, because she is Carly Rae Jepsen. But musical theater bootlegging. There's moral... I've taken a moral philosophy class, although it was freshman year, and it's interesting to examine moral ideas. Yes, there we go. Well, that's a sentence. It's interesting to examine moral ideas because they very, very infrequently have a neat and tidy and clean answer, which is what people seem to always want out of moral ideas. It's much easier to say, always do X, never do Y. And that is almost always untrue if you sort of examine the nuances of a situation. Musical theater bootlegging, I think, is one of those things. So what a bootleg is, I don't know where the actual terminology came from, but, you know, there used to be, back before video recorders were super popular, but there was able to get audio cassette recorders, you would get bootlegs of concerts, or you'd have bootlegs of albums where people would or bootlegs of radio streams, where people would record onto cassettes the audio from a concert or from an album or re-recording an album, stuff like that, and then either keep it themselves or transmit it out to the wide world. Musical theater bootlegging is a similar thing. It's just for plays, and I guess theoretically you could have also audio-only bootlegs. I'm sure people do that, but the stuff that is mostly noticed is when people sneak in video recorders and record the show, and then post it, usually on the internet in some way. And naturally, that sort of inspires different responses from different people. I think a sort of flashpoint for this coming up recently, and actually the thing that sort of got me inspired to think about it, is the musical theater show Hamilton. I was going to try and say musical, but then I kept saying musical theater, and that meant I had to say something like show in order to make it make sense and the nouns work. The musical Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which has been on Broadway for 7-8 months, thereabouts, and is a smash. People like it. It's really good. And it's sold out forever. And the creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, is vehemently... He's very active in the Hamilton fan community, which is its own different thing. Talking about creator fan dynamics, the last thing I would ever want if I was a fan of Hamilton is to interact with Lin-Manuel Miranda. That sounds horrible. I don't understand why people would want to do that. And I do understand why people would want to do that, but it's in a purely intellectual sense of, like, I can understand why someone does that, but it makes no sense in my own brain. And I would never do that. But he's very active in the fan community, especially the fan community on Tumblr, but is very vehemently against musical theater bootlegs, which are also very active among teens on Tumblr, in sort of the musical theater sphere of Tumblr, as well as elsewhere on the internet. But, like, Tumblr is sort of the go-to source for the most visible form of the musical theater bootleg community. And so that's led to some interesting tensions, that, like, you... I think most creators are probably opposed to bootlegs, but also most creators aren't interacting with the people who bootleg stuff on their own home turf. And so it's led to some interesting flashpoints, I think, within the Hamilton fandom. But And so, you know, there are some specifics to the show of Hamilton in particular where, okay, it's a show that is sold out incredibly. It's a show that is sold out forever, so the chances of anyone getting to see the show in the near future is incredibly, incredibly slim. And so that sort of removes some of the economic question of, you know, who are the people that are bootlegging Hamilton in particular? The people that are bootlegging Hamilton in particular are people that want to go see the show, would go see the show if they had the opportunity to do it. You don't have too many. I think musical theater bootlegging, in and of itself, it's a much more. It's not the way that you can Google on the internet and find any movie ever released available to watch within a few minutes, or any TV show available to watch within a few minutes. It's a much more gatekeepered community, and you have people that will. It's much more of sort of like the old concert bootlegging, where it treats it almost like it is a physical medium of, I have this show. Yes, it's in a MP4 file on my computer, but I have this show, and I will trade you my show for a show that you have that I want to watch. And this gatekeeping limits the spread and limits the scope of bootlegs in the musical theater world in a way that it is not done for other mediums where they just proliferate everywhere throughout the internet. And so, as a result, you have most dedicated people that are dedicated to Broadway that are watching these tapes and watching these clips. And so that sort of also goes against that argument hey, you're taking money from the pockets of people that make the show. And so I also generally tend to shy away from that. I think it's not 100% true that, you know, all pirates are people that would have bought it anyway or will support it in other ways. I think that is partially true. There are examples. So, for instance, I did download the leaked Carly Rae Jepsen Japanese version of Emotion when it launched 2 months before the American one. But I also have done so much proselytizing of Carly Rae Jepsen and converting people to her fandom, all of which who have bought the album, and then myself, I bought the album as well when it did come out in a way that I was able to buy it, and have, you know, spent lots of money on Carly Rae Jepsen affiliated things, that it's probably a net neutral. It's probably a net plus for Carly, but at the very least, a net neutral. A similar sort of thing with Doctor Who, that I watched Doctor Who on the BBC iPlayer by pretending that I was a British person, but at the same time, I was the one who convinced a whole bunch of my friends in high school to start watching Doctor Who, all of whom had BBC America subscriptions. So they watched the commercials, and it, you know, and I've also bought DVDs of the season and stuff like that. So again, it's a net, at the very least, a net neutral, probably a net plus. I think musical theater tends to be a little bit like that, that it's people who are willing to put money into the community when they have the money that are participating in the bootlegging culture. But at the same time, that's certainly not 100% a universal truth. So to also say that, hey, no, it's totally fine because the only people that bootleg are people that care a lot about musical theater is not true. There are certainly people who just watch it and then will never go see the show itself. So, again, sticky moral quandary. Honestly, the economic argument does not super fly with me all that much. Because the argument, I guess what the economic argument is saying is that this is the economic model that Broadway uses. This is our model, and any deviations from that model are not acceptable, economically speaking. So I guess what I mean by that is that the economic model for Broadway is that you pay a lot of money to go see a show, you fly to New York, you pay a lot of money to see a show, and you see a couple shows when you're there, and then that's it. And now we'll also let you buy the cast album if you want to listen to it. I don't know. That when an argument is being made economically, that doesn't super fly for me. And the reason why I'm harping on the fact that it's made economically is that I do sort of fly out when the argument is made artistically. When the argument is being made is that, hey, I'm the creator of a work, and the work is meant to be experienced in one of these ways, either in by coming to see the show itself, or by listening to the cast album. Side note of that most Brody Cast albums are garbage. Though the Hamilton one is actually very good, so you know, they actually did a pretty good job making it and not sounding like it's a bunch of day players that are in there just to get cut a paycheck on both the actors and the musicians' side, which most Brody Cast albums do sound like that. When it's the artistic argument being made and saying, like, no, the way that you're supposed to experience the show is you're supposed to actually come in and experience the show live. It's supposed to be different every time. It's supposed to, we don't want there to be one record that is the definitive performance. I can agree and understand that. However, if you know me, I'm also very, very, very pro death of the author, which is a term sort of to mean that once the creator creates a thing, the fans can do whatever they want with it, basically. So I'm ridiculously pro-transformative work. I'm very pro-fan art. I'm very pro-fan fiction, even though I don't do it necessarily. I'm super, super, super in support of that being a thing that happens. I'm super in support of fan canons and fan interpretations and people discussing shows. And a sort of side effect of that is I can appreciate the artist saying, this is the supported use, this is sort of a taking software terminology, you know, we will support you using this software in this particular way, and if you use it for anything else, we do not support it. It's not necessarily to say that, and that's sort of the way that I think about artists having preferred ways of, or artists trying to dictate how you experience an art piece, is that, you know, this is the supported way, and if you do anything else like that, your results may vary, and we sort of can wipe our hands of it. But it's not, and we can even say, hey, I don't think you should do this, but at the same time, the fan can do that whatever they want. You're allowed to open a book and read it backwards. That's not the supported way, that's not the way that the author intends you to do it, but it's okay, it's allowed to do it. And sort of a similar thing with, I think, the artistic argument against bootlegs is that, no, the supported way, the way you're supposed to see this show is that you go in, pay your tickets, sit in the seat, and watch it live. But, you know, if the audience wants to or has the ability to interact with something in a different way, then I think that's fine because it's more important to the audience. Like, how the audience chooses to interact with the work of art is much more important than how the artist wants the audience to do. If that makes sense to y'all, because I think it makes sense to me. I don't know. I come down... I am certainly not death the author in the sense of the author then should shut up and let the artist do whatever they want. The author, because anything the author does, and of course I'm using author as a generic term for artist, anything the author does becomes content in and of itself. So I'm also very pro J.K. Rowling coming in and saying, writing new Pottermore stuff and making declarations on the way that she sees her story working. That's perfectly okay. It's also okay for the author can do whatever they want, and the fan can do whatever they want. And so in that sense, I can also say it's okay that, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is allowed to say, hey, bootlegs suck, don't watch bootlegs, only come see the actual show or listen to the cast album, because in effect, that kind of becomes another piece of Hamilton content, in a weird way, which then the audience is allowed to do with what they want. They are allowed to accept that. They are allowed to reject that. They are allowed to pretend that that is non-canon, a non-canon statement. They are allowed to enshrine it and put it on pillowcases. I don't know. I think this leads very well into last week's idea of the creator-fan dynamics, is that my ideal version of the creator-fan dynamics is the creator can do whatever they want and the fan can do whatever they want, and I don't necessarily want... I want the interaction to flow one way. I want the creators to create things that the fans can consume, and then the fans can create things that other people can consume. And if the creator consumes it, it's just because they happen to be a fan of this person, not because it's like an actual two-way street relationship, if that makes sense. But I don't know. So this was a long ramble about musical theater bootlegs, and it's sort of you're seeing this point that, like, for every single... I guess I lean sort of pro-bootleg, but I lean pro-bootleg partially because of the circumstances of it, that musical theater bootlegging is such a... Musical theater is such an exclusive form of theater, of art, so much more so than anything else, especially Broadway theater. It is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly exclusive. Some of that is certain just by nature of the fact that it's, you know, it's a live show in a theater, so only a certain number of people are going to be able to watch it, and it's in a certain city. that there's that, and that sort of stuff can't really be changed, per se, but also the fact that it's disgustingly expensive to see Broadway shows, and it has to be disgustingly expensive in order to be able to afford to put on Broadway shows, and it's a vicious, vicious cycle that leads to the fact that, you know, look at Hamilton, for instance. I will not be able to see most musicals. I will probably be, in my lifetime, see less than 1% of, less than 1% of 1% of musicals, probably, in my lifetime. And the only way to increase that is to be in a position where I can be in New York all the time and watch more shows. And, you know, that, I don't know. The element of that exclusivity, as well as the gatekeeping of the bootleg fandom of musical theater, is what sort of leads me to be like, you know, both the economic and the artistic effects are likely, although who knows, because we need somebody to do an actual research study on it, are very, very likely not actually impacting the economics of the show in any meaningful way. It's very likely a very small economic impact, and it's very likely a small artistic impact in the sense that not very many people are going to see the bootlegs. But I think it's a large artistic impact in the sense that it's letting more and more audience members interact with the art in ways in which they want to interact with it, in ways in which they feel is okay. And so there's also that element of, like, you know, hey, don't watch a bootleg because bootlegs suck. Okay, that's an actual perfectly fine argument, but to say that, like, then that's why bootlegs shouldn't be allowed, is because they suck and you're not going to like the show as much, is to say, well, maybe not. Maybe someone does enjoy watching bootlegs, or maybe everyone that goes into a bootleg realizing this is a pale facsimile of the actual thing, but a pale facsimile is better than nothing? I don't know. So I guess in terms of the musical theater bootlegging, lean a little bit more on the sides of, I think it's an okay thing, I think it's fine, is sort of my version, but I acknowledge that it's a sticky situation. It's not a clean cut. It is no more clean cut for me to be able to say that bootlegs are fine than it is for Lin-Manuel Miranda, clean cut for Lin-Manuel Miranda to say that bootlegs are bad. It exists in this weird middle ground, y'all. And I think part of it also just does have a lot to do with your feelings with regards to how art should be ingested. If you feel that art should be totally death the author, creators can do whatever they want, fans can do whatever they want, go free and prosper, you're probably going to be much more likely to think that bootlegs and stuff like that are fine, because it's just a different way of interacting with the art, and the audience can do what they want. But if you're someone who thinks much more like, nope, the goal is the artist has a vision, and that is the only supported method, which I don't agree with, but I don't want to try and demonize it, I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase that in a way that doesn't make it clearly seem that, like, that's the wrong way to think about art, because it's art. There isn't right and wrong ways to think about art. There's ways that I like and ways that I don't like, whatever. But if you take that more Lin-Manuel Miranda-y approach of, like, nope, you interact with the art the way that I want you to interact with, because I made it, and that's the goal, then you're not going to like bootlegs. And yeah, I don't know, I'd be very interested if someone actually did a study on it to see how large the effects are, because I think that would also impact things. Not too much, actually. I think, honestly, even if it turns out that I don't know. Whatever. Oh, lordy, this is the problem, is I won't be able to end song because I'm recording onto the phone that is playing the music stuff. Well, okay, we are end songless this week. I'm sorry about that. No, sucks to suck. We're also 10 minutes short, but you're probably okay with that, because it probably didn't sound great, and it was more rambly than usual. So, sorry about that. Guys, did I mention I was in the same room as Carly Rae Jepsen last weekend? Because I was in the same room as Carly Rae Jepsen last weekend. That was a great thing that happened. But anyway, yeah. That is it. I'll see y'all next week, I suppose. Bye.